Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. I do want to remind you about our other podcast, and I particularly want to mention The Amazing World of Radio at amazing.greatdetectives.net. There you can listen to all of the podcast series that have been voted on by our Patreon supporters, including The Summer of Angela Lansbury, The Summer of Bogart, and Great Movies Over Radio. Plus, you can enjoy our great holiday specials. There'll be a Thanksgiving episode featuring Groucho Marx that you can listen to, and we'll be having some Christmas episodes coming up towards the end of December. So check it out at amazing.greatdetectives.net. Then you can also enjoy The War. It's my World War II podcast series. More than 270 episodes. We take you from the pre-war era all the way to Pearl Harbor and then through the war and into the post-war era through the power of radio. And we use news programs, comedies, drama, and music to tell the story of America during the World War II era. Check it out, thewar.greatdetectives.net. We also have our video version of this podcast at videotheater.greatdetectives.net. And check out my comics podcast at classiccomicsguy.com. All right, well, now it's time for today's episode of Boston Blackie. The original air date is April the 6th of 1949, and this one is the Harry Clark Mob Murders.
I got plenty of that. I want to talk to you.
So you pick my lock and try sneaking into my apartment. Now beat it.
Blackie, for the love of Pete, don't chase me out of here. Somebody's going
to
kill me.
They've been trying to do that for a long time, haven't they? Maybe this time they'll make good.
Well, this is no time for kidding. I don't want to die. You're the only one who can stop it.
Look, Jojo, it's late and I'm tired. Now, will you go to the cops?
The cops with my record?
That's what I said.
Blackie, they won't listen to me. That's why I come to you. You've got to stop him. He's going to kill me.
Who's going to kill you?
The Duke. Duke Bronson.
Look, Jojo, if this is your idea of a big joke, you can take
Blackie,
it.
Blackie, this is on the square. I saw Duke Bronson an hour ago.
You saw the Duke an hour ago?
Yeah, I was walking down Main Street when I saw him. Duke didn't see me, but I know he's looking for me.
Wait a minute. You say you saw the Duke on Main Street?
That's right, Blackie. I saw him clear as day. I saw him, I tell you.
And I tell you, that's impossible.
Well, what do you
Duke
mean?
Duke is safe in jail.
What?
His only problem is killing time, not killing you.
And now back to Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie, enemy to those who make him an enemy, friend to those who have no friends.
Hey, Rollins.
Yes, Inspector.
Where's that lab report on Jojo Thomas?
Oh, it hasn't come up yet, Inspector.
Hey, see what's keeping him.
Yes, sir.
How long does it take those boys to identify a couple of slugs?
Good morning, Faraday.
Blackie, you're all I need.
Yes, I know that's why I'm here.
I didn't send for you.
What's the matter, Inspector? Your head's ache?
I'm going to make yours ache if you don't get out of here. I'm busy.
I know. I heard about Jojo Thomas being found in an alley. Any idea who killed him?
Not yet, genius. Blackie, any time you want to leave, go ahead. I'll understand.
But, Inspector, I just got here. I couldn't be that impolite.
Now, look, mastermind, I told you I'm busy. I don't have time to talk to you, and I don't have the inclination to look at you, so beat it.
Well, I just came to tell you who killed JoJo Thomas, that's all.
Oh, sure. Just like that.
On the level, Fernie.
On the level.
JoJo came to see me last night. Said someone was going to kill him.
Who is this someone?
Duke Brunson.
Duke Brunson is in jail. Now get out of here, Blackie. I told you I haven't got time
to... Take it easy, Faraday. JoJo said he saw Duke on Main Street last night.
You believed him.
JoJo and the Duke worked for Harry Clark's mob before Duke went to jail a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think JoJo made a mistake.
Blackie, for your information, there's been no jailbreak.
What?
Nobody's been reported missing.
Faraday, remember how long it took you to finally get the goods on Duke?
A long time, but I got him.
Yeah. He was a shrewd operator, though, and he was always bragging about his connections.
His connections weren't good enough. I sent him up for 3 years.
Maybe his connections have improved.
Mm-hmm.
Think of that. Look, Faraday.
Yeah.
With a Duke, anything is possible. Even breaking out of jail without being missed. Yes.
Well, maybe. All right, go on.
Well, why don't you call the jail and check?
You don't have to tell me what to do.
Yes, sir.
Get me the warden. Call me back.
Very simple. Duke got out of jail, and the warden's searching the grounds before he sends out an alarm.
Mm-hmm. Great idea.
Now, aren't you sorry you yelled at me when I came in?
I'll have my social secretary send you a note of apology. Blackie, up. Yeah?
Hello, Inspector. This is Warden Smith.
Smitty, what kind of a jail are you running?
I don't understand, Inspector.
Duke Bronson escaped from your jail, didn't he?
Oh, just a minute.
Why wasn't I informed?
But look...
Come on, why?
Well, you see, Inspector,
never mind the alibis. When did he get out?
When did who get out?
Duke Bronson. Who do you think I'm talking about?
I know who you're talking about, but not what. Duke Bronson has been in the laundry all morning, and as a matter of fact, he happens to be in my office right now.
In your office?
Goodbye, Inspector. And the police are following several leads, which they say may take them to the killer. Inspector Faraday insists that the killer of JoJo Towers
should
not be at large for all.
Okay, Harry.
Or they apprehend him.
Hi, honey. I've been waiting for you. They found JoJo dead.
Yeah.
Well, don't take it so hard.
Oh, I'm all broken up, something fierce. Look, I'm crying.
Harry.
Yeah?
You weren't over to see me last night.
I had a tough day, so I decided to hit the hay early.
I called this apartment last night. There was no answer.
I must have gone out to get the papers.
I called twice. Once early and once late.
Mona, why all this cross-examination?
Nothing, Harry. No reason.
Come in.
Hey, Harry. You hear the news?
What news, Fred?
They found JoJo's body.
What?
Hi, Mona.
Oh, hello, Fred. Yeah, we just heard it over the radio.
Me too. Say, Harry, I did a pretty good job, didn't I?
Very good, Fred. Now, run along with you. I'm busy.
Well, like, but Fred.
Yeah?
What did you do that was very good, huh?
What? Didn't you know?
No.
Well, I used to visit the Duke in jail almost every day and fill his ears about how JoJo was making time with you. And all the time, you and Harry were the ones who was making
time. Shut up, Fred.
What's the matter, Harry?
Why did you tell Duke that about JoJo?
Well, Harry here didn't like it when JoJo said he was going out on his own.
Oh.
You know Harry don't like no competition.
I said to shut up.
I'm glad you slapped me, Harry. Makes what I gotta do easy.
Come on, Fred.
That gun don't bother me, Harry. I'm figuring on scramming for good. And I figure you're the guy to stake me.
How do you figure that, Fred?
Well, seeing what I know about you and the Duke and JoJo, I figure it's worth 50 G's. Now, get it up. That should take me a long way.
You're right, Fred. This should take you even further.
Oh. Ring, it's ringing. Inspector Faraday, homicide.
Am I talking to the murder department?
What? This is homicide. Who are you? What do you want?
I want to report a murder.
A murder? Whose murder?
I don't know who he is, but I live in a small house near the railroad track.
Small house?
Just a few minutes ago, I saw a man drive up in a car and dump his body near a siding.
Okay, lady. Okay, now where is this body?
But if you were paying attention, you would have heard me tell you.
Look,
it was near a siding.
Okay, lady. What siding?
The one off Clinton Street.
What's your name?
Mrs. Marks, and I live on Clinton Street.
Thanks a lot, lady.
Now, wait, don't hang up yet.
Yeah.
Don't you want to know the license number of the car that dumped the body?
The license number of the car?
Yes.
Don't tell me you've also caught the guy who drove it.
No, but if you like, I'll try.
Don't bother. You're getting to sound more like Boston Blackie every minute.
Yeah. Well, what do you want?
You don't look like Harry Clark.
No. I'm Mona. Come on in.
Oh, of course. You're Mona Martin. Duke Bronson's girl.
Not anymore. Not since Duke's in jail.
Really?
Say, don't I know you?
I'm Boston Black.
Oh.
Where's Harry?
He had to go out. He had to deliver a package. Yeah, that's right. He had to deliver a package.
Okay, so he had to deliver a package. When do you expect him back?
Well, I don't know. Maybe a half hour, maybe 2 hours. You never know with Harry.
You're frightened, Mona. Why?
Nothing. I'm all right.
You could rent your knees out to a rumba band from Maracas. What's scaring you, Mona?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Did you know that JoJo was dead?
No. I mean, yes, sure. I heard it over the radio.
Make up your mind, will you?
I heard it over the radio. Now, I think you better get out of here.
Oh, wait for Harry.
No, you can't do that.
No? Mona, I have an idea. Harry knows something about JoJo's death.
Look, Blackie, be a good guy. Beat it, huh?
Sorry. JoJo pulled out of Harry's mob, and I don't think your friend liked that.
Oh!
Smart guys die young, Mona.
Oh, you killed Boston Blackie, Harry.
I sure hope so. I certainly tried. Come on, let's get out of here.
Harry, I'm scared to death.
Don't be. Look at Blackie. He's shot to death.
All right, well, let's get...
That's so much more permanent.
If I get hold of Blackie, he'll break his neck. Making a fool of me with that warden.
Well, you talking to me, Inspector?
No, Rollins.
You know, this whole thing doesn't make sense.
What?
First JoJo Thomas, now Fred Benton. You really think Harry Clark knocked off his own guys?
I'm not sure about JoJo, but some dame got Harry's license number when he dumped Fred's body near the railroad tracks.
Yeah.
Keep your eyes open. We're near the Clark hangout.
Yes. Think we'll have any trouble?
Maybe. That's why I blocked off the street and have a machine gun. You have tear gas bombs. Yeah. Matthews and the rest of them are following in the other car.
They're right behind us.
Good. There's a house up ahead. With Clark's car in front of it. We're in luck. Matthews, you and your men take the back entrance. Rollins and I will go in the front.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Rollins, let's go.
Right.
Watch it. Harry Clark's the killer.
This is it, Inspector.
Okay, Rollins, stand back.
Clark, this place is surrounded. Come out with your hands up, or we come in shooting.
I don't hear anything, Inspector.
This is your last chance, Clark. Open up or we start shooting.
Out of sound, Inspector.
Stand back, Rollins. I'm going to shoot the lock off the door.
Okay,
Rollins. Let's go.
Right. Look, Inspector. This body in the corner.
I only hope it's Harry Clark.
Here comes Matthews, I think.
Yeah.
Breaking in the back way.
He's come out this way, Inspector.
I know it. Here he is on the floor.
Look. This isn't Harry Clark.
Blackie.
Blackie,
what are you doing here?
I'm relaxing. I always lie down on floors.
Looks like somebody shot him, Inspector.
Blackie, who did it?
I think it was Harry Clark.
Rollins, cover every exit from this city. I want Harry Clark.
For killing JoJo Thomas?
Yeah. I also want to find out why his aim was so bad when he shot Boston Blackie.
And now, back to Boston Blackie. Boston Blackie receives a midnight visit from JoJo Thomas, who fears for his life at the hands of Duke Bronson, who is in prison. The next morning, JoJo is found dead. The check at the jail discloses that the Duke is still in prison. Harry Clark, gangland boss, kills his stooge, Fred Benton. But Inspector Faraday discovers a trail which leads him to Clark. When Faraday and Detective Rollins arrive at Clark's hangout, they find Boston Blackie unconscious. As we return to our story, we find Harry Clark and Mona Martin at the bus terminal trying to leave town.
Leaving on 7 for Riverdale, Hightown, Plainfield. Get your tickets before boarding.
Okay,
passport.
Harry, let's get our tickets and scram out of this town.
All right, Mona. Sorry that you stopped me from seeing if I finished Blackie, though.
We needed time. We had to move fast. Come on, here's the window. Get the tickets.
Okay, okay. Hey, buddy, give me a couple of Glenmere, one way.
Going one way, Clark.
What?
You too, lady, to jail.
What?
Don't try anything, Clark.
Police?
Right, lady.
Oh, Harry, where are we going to shoot?
Get up. What's the charge, officer?
Murder.
What murder? What are you talking about?
Cut it out, Clark. Some dame saw you drive away from the railroad tracks after you dumped Fred Benton's body. Come on, we're wasting time.
Well, that's one thing I have plenty of.
Huh?
How about wasting some more, you?
I told you not to try anything.
You leave him alone.
Stay out of this, lady. Okay, Clark. Here comes the car. Get down. Quiet, lady. I just cooled them off. Don't worry, we'll make things hot for them later.
Now, look, Clark, we've got you called on the Fred Benton killing, and we know you killed Giorgio Thomas.
That's more than I know, Inspector. I told you I didn't kill Giorgio.
Mm-hmm.
And about Fred, you got to prove that.
Clark, I'm asking you for the last time.
Is that a promise?
Okay, Ronald, take him away. Bring in the Martin girl, huh?
Right.
Yes, sir. Come on, Clark. Let's go.
Take your hands over your big lug.
Go ahead,
Ronald. Come on.
Put this mug in a cell. Okay, Miss Martin, the inspector wants to talk to you.
But I didn't do anything.
I'm sure you didn't. You're innocent. And here she is, Inspector.
Sit down, miss.
Okay.
Now, who killed Fred Benton?
Who killed him? Why, Harry Clark, of course.
Miss Martin, that's all I wanted to hear you say. Blackie, with that crease in your skull, you should be in bed.
And leave you alone with a couple of unsolved murders?
I got news for you. We've solved them.
Oh, so you finally got the goods on the Duke, huh?
What are you talking about, Duke?
Well,
this Mona Martin admits she saw Clark kill Fred Benton.
Yeah.
Rollins is trying now to get a confession from him on this JoJo killing.
And that's where I'm going to help you.
No, you don't, Blackie. Now get out of my office. Go on, beat it.
What's bothering you?
I still haven't forgotten how you mixed me up with the warden. Now stay out of my head, genius.
Look, Faraday. What about JoJo claiming to see Duke Bronson walking the streets the night that he was killed?
Ah, Blackie, don't start that again. You know the Duke's in jail.
Faraday, you're a great disappointment to me.
Okay, so I'm a disappointment to you. You're a pain in the neck to me.
Just because you have one murder handed to you on a silver platter, you suddenly think you can solve them all.
Yeah, and with you out of the way, I can solve them quicker. Now get out of my office.
Faraday, you're a big, fat-headed cop.
And
you wouldn't know how to solve a murder if you saw it happen right in front of your own nose.
Blackie, you can't talk to me that way.
But I am, and I have lots more to say,
not in my office. Now, get out of here.
So you want to play rough, huh? Well, maybe this will knock some sense into you. Come here.
Yes. Rowan!
Crazy loon.
Rowan!
Oh, so you need help, do you?
What's happening?
Well, just stand there, Rowan. Grab Blackie.
Yeah, wait, oh, brain.
I got him.
Well, yeah, took two of you, Faraday.
Okay, Blackie, you wanted to play. I'm going to give you a nice play pen.
Yeah?
Take him down to jail, Rowan.
Really?
Maybe a couple of days there will make them less playful.
Blackie, what made you do such a fool thing as sock the inspector?
I didn't sock him, Rollins. He backed into me.
Okay, Blackie, if that's the way you want it. Here's the warden's office.
Yes?
I'm Detective Rollins. The warden's expecting us. Go right in.
Come in, Rollins.
Hello, Warden.
You know Boston Blackie?
Of course. Blackie, what is this I hear?
Well, Faraday hit me with his head, and I almost fractured my hand.
Okay, Blackie. Rollins, what does the inspector want us to do?
Keep him here for a couple of days till he can tie the loose ends of a couple of murders together.
Rollins, if I have to wait here for Faraday to wind up this case, I'll be here for life.
Sorry, Blackie. That's the inspector's orders. So long, Wharton.
Goodbye.
So long, Blackie.
So long. Now, you're not going to give me any trouble, are you, Blackie?
Of course not.
You can go wherever you please. Inside the walls. Is that a deal?
It's a deal. Which way to the prison laundry?
Carter 5. Turn right to see. You can't miss it. What are you going to do in the laundry?
Maybe I can take the starch out of a killer.
Hey, put some more steam in that boiler. How do you expect the warden to get his shirt clean? Come on, Dick, hurry it up.
Hello, Duke.
What? Well, if it isn't the great big hero, Boston Blackie. Some more steam, kid. More.
Pretty soft, Duke. Pretty soft.
Yeah, that's right. I'm the laundry checker in his jail. Go around telling everybody else what to do. After all, I got a reputation. Never worked a day in my life. Never will. Hey, what are you doing here? I'm finally getting wise to you?
No, just staying long enough to say hello. Hey, Duke, I heard a couple of your friends died kind of suddenly.
All my friends died suddenly. Occupational disease. Who are they this time?
One of them's a very special friend, Jojo Thomas. You don't seem very surprised, Duke.
Why should I be surprised?
I think you might have killed Jojo.
Oh, Blackie, now you're the one who's funny. Now, remember, this ain't exactly a country club. There's certain restrictions, like coming and going when you please, huh?
Well, for a guy with connections like you, have anything to
do. Ah, sure, sure. I just say, Warden, get me my limousine. I'm going into town to shoot a pal. Oh, Blackie.
Okay, so I'm just asking questions.
Why did you talk to Harry Clark?
He's in the jail somewhere. The cops are asking him some questions right now.
And they should be coming up with the right answers.
Such as?
How come Jojo quit working for him and decided to go out on his own?
Thanks, Duke.
You shaking hands with me?
Sure, why not?
Okay, there.
Hey, Duke.
Yes, Warden.
You got a job to do? Do it.
Yes, sir. You're on, Blackie.
Right.
Hey, Louie, watch that mangler. We'll be wearing rags instead of uniform.
Now, Blackie, I don't want you upsetting the routine of this jail. You're only in here for a couple of days. I know, Warden, but, I'd like to ask you a favor.
What kind of a favor?
Well, here's what I'd like you to do.
Inspector Faraday, wake up.
Oh? Who's there?
Nah, don't put that light on.
Who are you?
Harry Clark.
Hey, what is this? Clark is in jail for killing Jojo Thomas.
Yeah, no jail can hold me.
No?
Now, don't move.
What?
I can see you in the dark. Now, keep still and listen to what I got to say.
How'd you break out?
Shut up and listen.
You don't get away with this, Clark.
I said to keep quiet. I came to tell you for the last time I didn't kill Jojo Thomas.
Hello, this is Warden Smith.
Smitty, what kind of a jail are you running?
Huh? What? Who is this?
Inspector Faraday. I called to tell you that one of your prisoners escaped.
Oh, Inspector, not again.
Gag.
What is this, a gag?
This is no gag.
What?
Harry Clark just broke into my apartment and got away.
That's ridiculous, Inspector. Harry Clark was in my office not 2 minutes ago. Yeah, what is it?
Inspector Faraday's out here.
Well, send him in. Oh, good morning, Inspector.
Now, look, Smitty, there's something very fishy about your whole setup in this jail.
I don't understand.
Get Duke Brunson and Harry Clark in here. I want to talk to them together.
What about Blackie?
You might as well get him in here, too. He can't mess this up any worse than it is.
Okay, okay, fellas. Come on, come on in. You, Clark, sit over there. Duke,
right.
Over near the window. Yeah. And Blackie?
I'll just stand, Warden. Hello, Faraday.
Don't you talk to me.
What?
Hello, Clark. I want to know how you did it.
I told you, I didn't kill Jojo Thomas.
I'm not talking about that. I want to know how you got out of your cell last night into my apartment, back into your cell within 5 minutes.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
That wasn't Clark, Faraday. That was me.
I don't believe you, Blackie.
I'm telling you for the last time, I didn't kill Jojo Thomas.
But how could you...
How did I get out?
Yeah.
With the warden's permission. I slept in Duke's cell last night.
So that's why I was moved.
That's right, Duke.
Yeah, but what for?
And I found the tunnel. The tunnel you climbed through the night you killed Jojo Thomas.
You're crazy.
What tunnel?
The tunnel from under his bed to the outside of the prison wall. He had it hidden, but I knew it must be there, so I found it.
A tunnel to the outside of the wall?
That's right, Warden.
But how did he dig it, Blackie?
With some of the equipment he stole from the laundry room. Isn't that right, Duke?
Oh, sure.
Don't clown with me. When I shook hands with you in the laundry room, your hands had calluses on them.
So what?
You always said you never did an honest day's work in your life. So you must have gotten those calluses digging that tunnel.
Don't be a doll, Blackie. I only had a couple of months to serve. Why should I break out?
Harry can tell us that, can't you, Harry?
Sure. He killed Jojo, just like you said, Blackie.
I'll be at the end of you.
I
feel like
I've got to step in here. Duke's never a purpose. Duke's to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Faraday, here you are.
Yeah, here I am.
Duke got out just like I said he did. And got back so he'd have a perfect alibi. He was in jail when Jojo was murdered. I suspected all this. That's why I practically made you put me in jail.
Why did you show up at my place last night?
To prove how Duke could get in and out of his cell, of course. Okay, Harry, it's your turn now.
Yeah, let's hear.
Tell me why Duke left his cell to kill Jojo when he only had a couple of months to go.
I had Fred Benton come to see him and needle him about Jojo and Duke's girl, Mona.
I thought so.
Duke couldn't take it. He had to get Jojo. That's what I wanted him to do.
Because Jojo walked out on the mob, huh?
Sure. Then Fred Benton tried to blackmail me, and I let him have it. Mona told you that, didn't she?
Yeah, that's that. Oh, Warden, I won't bother you anymore.
Good. I guess we did a good day's work, you and I.
I guess we did. Forget about me, of course, Inspector.
Yeah, Blackie, I'm going to do just that. In fact, that's the best part of this good day's work.
Can I help you, please?
You certainly can. You have something I desire very much.
For the young lady?
Hardly.
Well, just what is it you had in mind?
That watch hanging in your jeweler's cage.
Oh, I'm sorry. That watch belongs to someone. Besides being repaired...
Will you stop the chatter?
Now, if you'll step to this counter, I have the finest...
Look, mister, you're wasting your time. When Philip says he wants something, he wants it.
But you don't understand. That watch doesn't belong to me. I can't sell it.
I don't want to buy it.
But I thought you said... God.
That's correct.
No.
Get the watch, Cora.
Yes, Philip.
But I don't understand. If this is a holdup, there are diamond bracelets, those gold rings, there's star sapphires. But that watch, why do you want it?
Didn't you hear what the lady said? When I want something, I want it, and I want that wristwatch.
Here it is, Philip.
Thank you, Cora.
It's ridiculous. There's no reason for you to take a second-hand watch. I can't possibly...
There was apparently no reason for my killing him either, Cora. But I did it.
welcome back. Well, I thought for a second that after years of dealing with Faraday, Blackie had finally lost it. Though, of course, it was part of a clever scheme. The city is doing in combining its jail for temporary inmates with the prison, I don't know. That's a really weird thing. At least this time, Blackie did have some ill effects from being creased by the bullet. Unlike the last time he was shot, and it wasn't really explained why he did not seem to suffer more of an ill effect, other than being temporarily knocked out. I was about to declare a Boston Blackie superpower, but I will hold off on that. Now it's time for listener comments and feedback, and we've got some comments regarding the Crooked Charity Ring murders. We start with Joey, who says, is it just me or did this episode have even more puns than ever? I don't know. This one did have quite a few, but we've had so many punny episodes, it's really hard to tell. David says, weirdly, Blackie seems to have skipped over a decisive clue. If the debutante had killed Fancy Dan because of the letters, wouldn't she have taken the letters when she rigged the trap? This seems like a better reason to rule her out than what was given in the episode, since, for all we know, she might have had some secret mechanical talent. Well, that is a fair point, David. I will say that when it comes to the golden age of radio in this era, that mechanical talent was not something that you would typically find out that a woman had. It just was not stereotypes of the times, and it was rare you'd have something that far out there. I do remember an episode of Mr. Keen we played where it turned out that a woman was a gun-firing motorcycle rider, which I had to admit, I was impressed that they went there. At the same time, it was a silly plot because of the way the murder was carried out and how improbable it was. But hey, at least they were being inventive with motivation and such. Mike writes, regarding the same episode, when I'm listening to Boston Blackie, I'm always keeping my ears out for Mandel Kramer. I'm pretty sure I picked up pretty early as Smitty in the Charity Ring Murders. It did sound like he was using an accent or affectation, which made me a little unsure. Well, it made more sense later in the episode when it sounded like Kramer also played the very brief role of the newspaper morgue guy with his normal voice. It was only a couple lines, but it really sounded like him. What did you think? Did they save money by using Kramer twice? Keep up the great work. I love the show. Well, Mike, I would say probably they did. It's something that is one of those cost-saving benefits of radio. If you have a good actor who can make their voice sound different, or if you just have an actor who doesn't have to deliver too many lines and can just go ahead and do like a weak voice or something silly, but hey, it saves you an actor, they do that. Even a lot of, I would say most modern radio dramas, if they have audio credits, when you listen to them, they will say that other parts played by members of the cast. And so, yeah, I think I remember the voices being similar. But, yeah, that would not surprise me at all because it does not make sense to hire another actor for one of those really bit parts that only has a few lines, because then you have to pay them a union scale, and that just drives up the cost of your production. So you'll hear a lot of doubles and triples. And certainly at this point in his career in 1949, Mandel Kramer was by no means any sort of radio star. He had a regular recurring role on Counter Spy. But other than that, he was just a regular working character actor who took his parts as he could get them. And so, yeah, they would not really have any hesitation about giving him an additional role. And then we have Amy responding to the comment we had from a listener a few weeks back regarding the Champagne Velvet ads. She says, I'm going to echo Stephen's post and add a little to it. I can't help but think that back in the 90s, when a bunch of us were sharing these wonderful programs in things like MIRC and chat rooms, and then Napster and Audio Gnome, including Boston Blackie, that we helped ushered in a new appreciation for both vintage radio and perhaps even some of the things they advertise. Champagne Velvet is definitely on my top list of things that achieve new appreciation because of a crossroads of two things. The campaign ad is prolific and unique, and a resurgence of beer appreciation. But without the ads, who would have heard of CV Beer to even ask an Indiana brewery to make it again? Because in my opinion, things like Boston Blackie have preserved history that we can now try again. Something lost a favor after Prohibition killed an entire generation's palate for beer styles. By the way, yes, you can now buy CV again in Indiana. Beyond that, the comment that the listener can't be bothered to fast forward the commercial is sad, but telling for a wonderful time we live in. I can listen to podcasts of radio programs long gone, programs thought to be lost, programs thought to be too boring for modern ears and shelved or destroyed. Just stop and think about this. This is awesome. When the wonderful becomes commonplace, the world gets a bit sadder. I love listening to these programs and to Adam because even if I don't like this series, I can usually find a few episodes that are gems. A comment about Johnny Dollar. I'm glad you're going through them again because I really did think they were not my style until I heard that Mandel Kramer was a Johnny. I listened to every one with him and loved it. Now listening to Russell, I'm fully aware of how wrong I was. I guess what I'm saying is we each have our styles, but we don't have to disparage the ones we don't like in order for our way to shine. Because the unfortunate result is that if enough people complain about those things, disappear. I truly believe that we live in the best of times and that we have time at our fingertips, like no other people before us. I can travel to the 30s, 40s, and 50s with the touch of a screen. Even from the 70s, we can hear interesting news updates from what implications come from finding Nixon tapes and was Patty Hearst seen helping rob a bank to exciting but ultimately sad news about Anwar Sadat signing new treaties with Israel, all because people didn't edit out the news on most CBS radio mystery theater episodes. We truly hold windows into the past in our hands, and I love it. Thank you as always, Adam. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your comment, Amy. And I definitely agree. You mentioning Napster and MIRC, that brings back memories. I don't know how many millennials or younger even remember those things. So, yeah, I'm thoroughly aware of both. In those early days of the internet, I wish I could say I was spending my time on IRC doing something as productive as sharing old-time radio programs. But I was, at that age, just, you know, 16, 17, when I first found the internet, just like I found a whole new way to argue with people. But I grew out of that. It's an interesting thought about Boston Blackie, perhaps these ads playing a role in the return of Champagne Velvet, which certainly seems plausible, and a better explanation than any for the brand's resurgence. The comments at the end were kind of interesting, too, because some people will say, you know, because I enjoy Golden Age of Entertainment, that I was born in the wrong time. I've had a few people say that, and I don't necessarily feel that because, you know, you did not have as much time to actually enjoy this stuff. And some of the programs that we play on this podcast, you know, we're competing against each other in different time slots. And, you know, particularly with old time radio, it was a situation where if you missed it, it was gone. So in many ways, I have more of an opportunity to listen to these programs than people who were around at the time. Of course, there are a lot of lost episodes, and so that's the one thing that I do miss, is so many of those lost episodes. So if I got a time machine, I'd just, you know, travel back in time to somewhere where I could listen to the programs and, you know, capture and record them and bring them back to the present. Set course for June the 3rd of 1949. Though I guess that may not be the most exciting use of a time machine. At any rate, thank you so much for the comments, Amy. And I do want to go ahead and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. And thank you to Christine. Christine has been one of our Patreon supporters since November 2018, currently supporting us at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. Thank you so much for your support, Christine. And that's all for now. Join us back here tomorrow for yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And then next Thursday, we'll be back with another episode of Boston Blackie. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.